All right. Thank you, Brother Cruz. That's a good question to ask when you consider what the Lord did for us. God incarnate in a man, the Lord Jesus Christ, died for us as God gave his only begotten Son. I want you to go to the Old Testament with me this morning, 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel, I'd like to read you about three chapters here to get all the background and the context. I can't do that. I'm going to briefly tell you the story, and then we're just going to take one text, one verse that we'll read this morning. I want to speak to you on the subject this morning, the greatest betrayal. And I think you'll see where I'm going. Our terminology today, as we watch the news, often we'll hear somebody say, well, they threw him under the bus. That means probably they betrayed him. When I was a kid, we went to the shoot 'em ups on Saturday. They were the B-movies. I still defend them because they rode real horses, not computer horses. And they had to act out their parts. And whether it was a fight or whatever it was, somebody was making pictures of people actually doing some of that stuff. Nowadays, you don't know whether you're watching computer or what you're watching, rocking horse or whatever. But in those westerns, we kids learned to watch out for the guy that would pull the double cross. You know what I'm talking about? Double cross. And we hated that guy. And most of the plots, sooner or later, you had somebody that was being deceptive, somebody that was a spy on the inside, somebody that was the crook in the end, and he was pretending to be a good guy, but he was actually after getting the deed to the ranch. You know what I'm talking about? All right, I wanted to lay that scientific background before I moved any further. I want to give you a story here that's found, that the verse I'm going to read is referred to. If you'll go to 2 Samuel chapter 17. 2 Samuel chapter 17, it's going to be in the story life of David, King David, a man after God's own heart, special, greatest king of Israel and all that God did with him. And we're going to read a little bit about one of the lowest times in David's life, a time that he was betrayed. Worse than that, he was betrayed by his own son by the name of Absalom. Remember that? And David loved Absalom. He loved him even when he was doing him wrong, when he was trying to take the kingdom from his dad. And perhaps had he had it within his power, had God allowed, he'd have probably had his dad killed. But still David loved him. And what a low moment it was to find out that his only son was leading a great rebellion to take his kingdom. And David had to leave Jerusalem. He and the group that was loyal to him had to run. They had to get away before Absalom and the followers that he had recruited would have come in and taken over. It was a bad time. Now, in the verse I want to read is by a man named Ahithophel in verse 23 of 2 Samuel 17. And when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass and arose and got him home to his house, to his city, and put his household in order. That's a word we still use today, isn't it? Even the lawyers and the doctors. Doctors sometimes have the sad job of telling somebody you're going to live just a little while. Go home and put your house in order. So that's right out of the King James Bible here. And put his household in order and hanged himself. And died and was buried in the sepulcher of his father. Now let me tell you who Ahithophel was. He was the right-hand counselor of King David in the what we would say in the palace or in the leadership of Israel's government, Jerusalem. And David relied on him and counted on him. And all of a sudden, David finds out that Ahithophel has joined the rebellion led by Absalom, his son. And so his counselor of war, the one that David looked to for wisdom and advice and guidance, all of a sudden, he's betrayed David, and he's gone with Absalom. Now, what had happened here that made him hang himself? He had come and given Absalom counsel how to go after David in the wilderness. He had told him, do it quickly. Do it quickly while they're tired and they're hungry and they're attack him real quick. But David had an inside man also. And that man advised against Ahithophel's counsel and said, look, your dad's a man of war. He's got the mighty men with him. They're aggravated. It'd be like, and I'm paraphrasing, it'd be like cornering a wild animal. They'll defeat you early. And of course, the best advice was Ahithophel's, had he acted on it. But Absalom didn't, because the Lord was in the thing, and he rejected Ahithophel's counsel. And Ahithophel knew at that moment, when his counsel had been rejected, he knew that it was going to be a losing battle for Absalom. And he goes home, rather than face David later, sets his house in order, and hangs himself. Yes, he was a traitor. It is quite interesting that the biggest traitor that we'd normally think about is Judas. And isn't it amazing how that Judas also hanged himself? And if you were to read Psalms 55, you'll read where David, I believe, is referring to Ahithophel in this time of treachery. And he calls Ahithophel. He says, he's my friend. We went into the house of God together. And yet, David, here in his pain, realizes his best friend has betrayed him. Sad thing. No doubt about it. Sad thing. Now, as I look through the scripture, I can see many different times something like this happened. I can look in our history, and I probably the most infamous man in American history might be Benedict Arnold. Remember in the Revolutionary War, how he betrayed us. He turned out to betray George Washington. You remember that? They say that if you go up there now and you look in the West Point, where all the shields are on the wall of the different ones, that there's one missing of those great military leaders under George Washington, and that one is Benedict Arnold's. A sad thing. Hardly nobody wants to name their kids that. Sort of like nobody names their kids Judas. Nobody wants to name their kids Jezebel. You pick out some characters out of the Bible for cause of the bad deeds that they've done, that stigma is still there. I want to get you to think with me a little bit this morning, and I want to name some of the greatest betrayals that we could possibly mention, and we're seeing them today. The greatest betrayal, however, as much as I see it in government, the greatest betrayal is not in governments. I look back a little bit in history, and we think about Germany. And there's a lot of talk in the news because at the time that Hitler was rising to power, a fellow by the name of Wilt Chamberlain went over to negotiate with Hitler, and he signed a peace treaty, and he come back to England, and he was naive. He said, there's going to be peace in our time. And Hitler was laughing and said, it ain't nothing but a piece of paper. And by the way, that's what Iran is saying today. And that's what others are saying today. Same old thing. You see, Hitler broke one truce after another. He made one really big mistake. He had a truce with Russia. But he tried to go over there and conquer Russia. He double-crossed them. He betrayed them. And that was a big part of his beginning of his downfall when he lost that battle over there in the snow and ice. But you know, you look around and you see in our recent times such things as even Vietnam. I talked to some men that was in that last getting out of Saigon, where they were up on top of the buildings, and the helicopters picking them up. And the enemy was coming into Saigon, and they were all the people trying to crowd up and get on the helicopters. And some of the soldiers, Vietnamese soldiers that was on our side, pulled off their military outfits and threw them away so they could melt in the crowd. They felt betrayed by America leaving. And it was an awful time. By the way, the boys on the ground didn't lose it. The politicians lost it. And that's exactly what is still going on today, by the way. But it was just a lot of men gave their lives, and then they were sold out after they paid the ultimate sacrifice, no doubt about it. I'm seeing the same thing with Iraq today. Our withdrawal was premature. If it was worth going over there, it was worth winning. And when I see on the TV our soldier boys with limbs missing and all that you see and they made the sacrifice. And I want to say if it was worth one, it was worth winning. It was not all of a sudden we turn it around and even let them pick up the weapons that was left behind and do the bad things that, like ISIS is doing today with our own weapons. You know, the slaughter of the locals. Now, you think about it. Iraq's the most recent thing over in that area. You think about the people as we were over there and as at one time we pretty well had control, and those people that helped us, the locals that helped us. Now, when we forsake them, they're being slaughtered. That's betrayal. I'm talking about seeing betrayal of governments. It's a terrible thing, and the way we're double-crossing and betraying Israel kind of tops the icing on the cake today. It's really bad. You know, annihilation of Israel is still the goal of Iran. And while our so-called nuclear discussions with them about not enriching uranium to make the bombs and to make the missiles, all the time their leader said, but there's one thing that's not on the table, the annihilation of Israel. We still are planning on annihilating Israel. And yet here we are sitting there negotiating with a bunch of thugs like that, a bunch of crooks like that. That is betrayal. That is wrong. That should not be going on. And I look in our country today and I see how we're double-crossing our forefathers. Hey, they founded this nation on God, on the Bible. Look at our documents. Look at what the founding fathers said. And all of a sudden, the Christian faith is being thrown on the bus in America today. Psalms 22 says, our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted and thou didst deliver them. Our fathers did trust in God. And God did deliver us. He delivered us from the Revolutionary War right on up through World War I and II. And the truth is, we're trying to throw that faith and that foundation that was built on God under the bus, betraying it. It's too bad, but I see it wherever you look. I saw an article this week where the New York school system, I don't know if it's a whole system, I guess it was, but in New York, they're going to observe two big Muslim holidays by closing the schools. Muslim holidays. Hey, listen, we're still pledging a flag that says, under God. Amen. Under which God? It's not Allah. It's the Lord God Jehovah that it was with our forefathers, and we still know today, but we're betraying that. Betraying that. It's really amazing. I keep hearing about chaplains in the military, losing their job, losing their retirement, if they mention Jesus or use the Bible. I read about one this week. They told him to clean out his desk and get out. What did he do? He had an assistant that come in and talked to him in private. Chaplain's assistant that he thought was a good guy, but he was a secret homosexual. So he come in and counsel with the chaplain who believed the book and believed what God said, and he asked the chaplain, what does the Bible say about homosexuality? And while the chaplain didn't know his assistant was a homosexual, he sat down and showed him what the Bible had to say about it. It calls it an abomination. It's on the curse of God. He told him the truth. So the assistant goes out, reports it, so they file charges, cost the chaplain his job. Isn't that amazing? Wouldn't you think that the military had a chaplain in there to tell somebody what the Bible might say? Tell them about the Lord Jesus. Tell them the truth. We are seeing treachery on a big scale today going on. Yes, it's going in governments. We've seen the current situation in Baltimore. I think the police have been double-crossed, thrown on the bus. Somebody said to me, said, why would anybody want to be a policeman anymore? Truth is, your life's at risk. Truth is, it's not only your life. You may go to jail for nothing forever, just trying to do your job. I did enjoy the mad mom that got a hold of her son. I watched it 2 or 3 times. It was rerun, and I enjoyed it. Did you see her? She's got a good right. Bam, bam, bam. So I didn't enjoy that. I did. And I thought the son deserved it. I am going to say this, though. While they did make a lot over it, there is a double standard there. Because listen to me. On camera, in public, she slapped the fire out of him. And while I say amen to that, how about the ball player that used a switch on his son? Huh? There's your double standard. How about the bleeding heart liberals today that if you touch a kid, then you're accused, very likely have the kid taken away and you may go to jail. But this book says you're not supposed to spare the rod. If you do, you're going to spoil the child. And it wouldn't be out there in the streets if we had moms and dads that was practicing the book. It's okay to have a peaceful assembly, but brother, when you use it for nothing but an excuse to break windows and grab stuff that's not yours, that's betrayal. And when you see them out there stomping on the American flag and burning the American flag, what you've got is you've got American citizens betraying the country that gave them the greatest freedom any country's ever given. And many of them, hypocrites they are, stomping the American flag while they go down and get a welfare check from the taxpayers. It's amazing to me today what I'm seeing when I look around. And while all that is bad, it's still not the greatest betrayal that I want to point out to you today. I see betrayal in the governments. I see betrayal in the churches. Yeah, but not the greatest, but yes, betrayal in the churches. I look around today and see churches compromising beyond description concerning God and His Word and what's right and what's wrong. Amazing. In the old days, this book was the instruction book. Nobody was doubting it, second-guessing it. They were trying to follow it. And you might go in a church that's called Methodist or Baptist or Presbyterian, and they might disagree on some fine points of interpretation, but they believe the book was the Word of God. They believe Jesus was the Son of God. They believe it took the Jesus blood shed for our sins, or we couldn't be saved. They believe the basics. They don't anymore. And they compromise and even attack the Word of God. Watch out. You look behind me up there on the baptistry, you see that Bible back there. If you look on the corner of it, it says KJV, King James Version. I want to say to you, you got a lot of versions today that take liberty with the Word of God just to make it easy for somebody to say, well, the Bible says that. No, it don't. It says what some man wanted to change it and make it say instead of what it really does say. And we're living in that day and age right now. Compromise. Compromise. Compromise our history in the classrooms. Amazing, amazing. Look, they used to put this Bible in the schoolroom and it was revered. When I went to school, the teacher had a Bible over here. She had a paddle over here. And between those two, most of us students stayed in pretty good shape. We knew she believed in what was right. And she knew how to correct what was wrong. Amen? And that's still what's needed today, big time. And in the old days, that was the respect of the Word of God. And it was quoted in our history. It was placed in our courtrooms. Isn't it amazing how it's still in the courtroom? Where you still put your hand on it. I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. That means if you can't have a Bible in the schoolroom, wait till you get to court. Can't have one in the schoolroom, but when they get in prison, they'll let you have one. A little bit late, quite a bit late, amen? But that's the sellout. That's the throwing it on the bus. That's the treachery that I'm talking to you about today. Laws were enacted on the Word of God. Let me say this. If you took the Word of God, the Supreme Court wouldn't be debating gay marriage right now. The Bible is very clear on it. Amen. Jesus said, have not you heard from the beginning that God created a male and female? Man and woman? Adam and Eve? First marriage in the garden? Amen. It wasn't Adam and Steve. It was Adam and Eve. Bless God. The truth of the matter is, that's the book. That's the truth. The truth has been betrayed. Today, while the Bible condemns adultery, and by the way, in the old days, do you know the laws in America? And you can still go to some states. They've been trying to rub them off here in the last few years, trying to make them politically correct. But in the old days, there were a lot of laws written against adultery. And adultery was breaking the law, just like breaking the window on the store and robbing was. Boy, have they said, well, they didn't enforce it. They did for a while. And the further we've gotten away from the book, the more trouble we've gotten in this old world today. No, the Supreme Court right now debating gay marriage. That quite elderly lady up there called Ginsburg, is that, I believe I'm right, Ginsburg? She's the one that went to sleep while Obama was preaching. You say he wasn't preaching. Yes, he was. I disagree with his message, a lot of it, but he was speaking, and like the young man that fell asleep under Paul's preaching, she was dozing off. Somebody said it was because she had imbibed a little bit too much. Some of you look that up. Then you got the other, by the way, she and the other woman, I can't call her name right, the men on the Supreme Court, the judges, both of them have performed gay marriages. Wonder how they're going to vote. Huh? It's ridiculous. But that's where we're at, folks. That's where we're at. But you know, I look in churches today and they've betrayed the Bible. I've seen churches betray everything that they used to stand for. Now they got lesbians claiming to be pastors of churches. If that's not a betrayal of the Word of God, I don't know what is. Look around today and see them marrying dogs in churches and all kind of stupid stuff. It's a betrayal. Just a big sellout. And older members, here's what gets me. Older members, still alive, still sitting there, and they hate it in their soul, but they don't leave. They take it. They've seen the music go to from Christ-honoring music to barroom beats. They've seen so-called preachers that aren't even saved in the pulpit, that deny the Word of God. That's the sellout inside of the churches. That's the betrayal that is going on in so very many cases. It's sad to see it, but it's true. I know this. There's still good churches, and there's still good pastors, and a lot of pastors can speak to you on the subject of betrayal. They know what it is to go and win somebody to the Lord, nursemaid them, get them to grow in grace, meet their needs, preach their relatives' funerals, visit them when they're in the hospital, and maybe that go on for years. And then the next thing you know, the preacher slips up in the pulpit and says something that they interpret that might have been against them. And they're gone like a bird flying off. And they go to a place that don't even stand for the Bible they used to say amen to when the preacher was saying, here's the Word of God, they'd say amen. Now they're going to a place that don't believe that. But the preacher offended me. That's betrayal. Amen and amen. I hardly ever put in a plug for a preacher, but that's a good one. Because it happens all the time, and it's so ridiculous. It really is. But I hate to see that in churches. Now, that's not all of them. Thank God for the good ones. And I feel sorry for members whose granddad built the church. And I feel sorry for members whose that church only financially is existing off the annuities and the long-range gifts that was left to them in a will. That's all that's keeping some of these big denomination churches going. And the very people that left that, the old saying, would turn over in their graves if they could see what's going on now. And that's truth. I feel sorry for church members that have seen their church stolen as it was from what it used to be. But it has happened and does happen. Let me say this, though. The greatest betrayal is not in the governments. Greatest betrayal is not in the churches. While it's there, The greatest betrayal is not even in families. And boy, how many husbands and wives have felt betrayed when one left and broke their vows and cheated and left them. Those vows still say in sickness and in health, and until death do we part. That's what it says. And yet, how many husbands have been betrayed? How many wives have been betrayed? How many parents have betrayed their kids? Kids have a right to look to mom and dad for love, for support, to sustain them. And we work with a lot of kids in our ministry for years. And some of these workers could tell you what we've experienced. Never forget in the old days, I hadn't been here too many years. And I went one night out and called on a couple of little boys that had ridden our bus right here in the city, in the city limits. And I went in the house, and the little boys was there, and the house was the house of their grandparents, not their parents. And they were very poor. And the parents was very feeble. The grandparents were very feeble. And I sat at the kitchen table talking to them, and I got the sad story of what sin the parents had got in, and how the grandparents was just doing the best they could to get food together to feed the kids. And while I was sitting there, the roaches was crawling on the table, and after the little food that was there, and the little boys were sitting over there, pretty well-mannered little boys, and my heart just broke. And then there was a side of me that said I'd like to get a hold of those parents and beat their heads together, because they betrayed these kids. And now granddad and grandma, in their feeble years, with a little bit of income they had, was trying to raise two little boys. I remember that. He could tell you so many worse stories than that one. But that's betrayal, and we see it within families. It's a terrible thing. I've seen teenagers raised and taken care of by parents, and then get to be a teenager and go into rebellion against mom and dad and just sell them out, betray them. I read in the paper some years ago where it said a teenager was arguing with his dad over the car, and he forcefully took the keys from his dad and got in the car to go out to do wrong, and his dad was trying to stop him. And it said that his dad stood in front of the car in the driveway, and the kid ran over him. And then the little last line caught my attention, and it said this: they say the dad died of internal injuries. And I thought, yeah, I don't know what the car did to him, but the kid broke his heart internally, right? That's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. Here in the text, David's sons rebelled against him. His personal counselor has rebelled against him, betrayed him. That's the scene here. And Ahithophel went out and hanged himself and died. But he'd done wrong. He knew that he'd done wrong. Still, the greatest betrayal I can point to is more than what I mentioned, more than what governments do, more than what has happened in God's churches today, more than even what has happened in families. The biggest betrayal I can point out to you is when the creature betrays the Creator. When the creature that God made and gives him life and gives him strength and gives him everything rebels against his Creator, against his Maker. He made us, folks. And yet in his love, and you heard the singing of it a while ago, his great love, he gave his Son for our sins. And yet we betray him. Reject his Son. You can't have a bigger betrayal than rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know that? John chapter 1, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. That's betrayal. Jesus went to the cross of Calvary and let him nail his hands and his feet and spare his side and shed his blood for you and I to have forgiveness of sins and go to heaven as though we'd never sinned. And when you reject that, reject what God has done, the greatest gift of all,
You're betraying the Father, the Creator, the Maker, the one that sustains us every breath we take. That's the biggest betrayal I could point out to you. You know, He's delivered us so many times, and I could have you raise your hand. I'd like for your mind to run over a couple of things, and that's this. If you're saved today, I hope you got saved maybe early in life, or maybe whenever you heard the gospel that you didn't reject long before you received Christ. I hope that's true. You may be here today and you've never received Christ. You've rejected Him and you're betraying the God that gave His Son to die for your sins when you do that. I've had so many stories and dealt with them as preacher. I have been beside deathbeds and heard people say, if God would give me one more chance, if God would raise me up from here, I would accept Christ and I would serve Him. And I've seen God just do that. I've seen Him raise some up that, humanly speaking, shouldn't have lived. And I've seen those same people that made such a vow, and then when God healed them, got them up, they forgot that promise. They forgot that vow. They betrayed the Lord that raised them up off the bed and went on their own way. I've seen that. I've seen folks hurt in an accident and look like they were not going to pull through it. Heard them make God promises and seen them get back on their feet when God blessed them and still betray Him and not come to Christ. They say that there's no atheist in a foxhole, and I believe that. Many in wartime promised God, just get me through this. Let me get home alive. And I'll accept you and I serve you. And many of them did. And I know some preachers that surrendered to God in a foxhole. And I know that. But then there's many of them got out. And I heard a man's testimony not long ago. He said, I was floating on a raft for so many days with my plane down in the ocean. He said, I begged God to save me and let me get home. And if I could get home, I'd become a Christian and serve Him. He said, by a miracle, a ship picked me up. I got home, and he said, in a little while, I forgot my promise to God. Isn't that terrible? But it's true. It's true. I had a friend. I was participating in a friend's funeral yesterday. Many of you remember Brother Norris Hodges, and he and I go back a long way. We served in the youth group together. Leaders of the youth group many years ago, not long after I was saved. He'd been a Navy man. He served on the Enterprise, largest Navy ship in the world at that time, largest and fastest. And at his funeral yesterday, we basically let him preach his own funeral on tape. And he told a story he'd told me before, and I enjoyed it again yesterday. He said on that USS Enterprise, at 100 foot down to the water, he said a young man that just couldn't handle the pressure and the Navy life, he said one night he jumped overboard to kill himself. And he said that he had known him and witnessed to him a little bit, but the boy was lost and jumped over to commit suicide. Miracle of miracles was he went 100 foot down in the water and yet come up alive and not even knocked out. But the ship was moving on, and the boy come up out of the water, he changed his mind. Now he wanted to live. And he cried out help as loud as he could, and by a miracle the night guard heard him and put the light on him. And in a little while, the captain of the ship ordered the lifeboats to be lowered and picked him up. Norris said, I didn't see him after that. I'm sure they probably discharged him out of the Army or Navy. But he said, one night I was preaching in a church, He said, I told the story of the young man jumping overboard. Norris was a good singer, and he loved to sing the song, Ship Ahoy. And he sang that on tape at his funeral yesterday. It was really great. But he said, I sung the song, Ship Ahoy, and I told about my Navy friend that jumped over to kill himself and how they rescued him. And he said, I said, I do not know what happened to him, but surely if God saved him, he must have come to Christ. And he said, we gave the invitation after I got through preaching, and a number of folks came, and he said, a young man walked up to me. He said he wasn't so young anymore now, but walked up to me and said, you don't know me. I'm the boy you told the story about. I'm Kelvin. He said, I could hardly believe it. But he said, I said, Kelvin, have you ever got right with God? Have you ever received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? And he said, no. No, I haven't. And the good news is he got saved that night. But here's where God's long-suffering comes in. The story was, this boy was coming through the big city of Jacksonville. He was changing buses. He had an hour and a half layover. And a young man out doing street work saw him and said, hey, how about coming to church with me? And he said, well, I got an hour and a half. I might as well. And here's the boy that was rescued out of the ocean. Comes to the church where the preacher is telling the story of what happened on the ship. Do you see God in that? Do you see the long-suffering of God in that? Now, the boy got saved after all that. What would he have been to still said no? To betray God by saying no? When you understand that God allowed his son to shed his blood and die for you on the cross, and you say no, that's the greatest betrayal that I could point out to you this morning. I hope you won't make that choice if you're not saved. That as we sang an invitation and I stepped to the front, that you'll come and say, preacher, I've been rescued from many close places. I've promised God many times, but this time I'm coming to him. I pray you will. Let's bow our heads and